Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Kachin, and this is Technoid Live on WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders, in this case sports founders, entrepreneurs, come to share their story. With us right now, we've got kind of a cool little class of people. We've got Shelly. Showbiz Shelly is back.
Hello, hello.
Of course. And we've got Sean, the feed man. And our number one guest who's going to be here today, Chris Bruhans, Sports Mockery.
Hello, Burhans.
Burhans. Why do I pronounce your name?
Well, everyone does. It's a weird thing.
It's not spelled incorrectly, though, is it?
No, it's not.
I just don't know how to read.
Yeah, I could do better there.
I could do a trust me, I could do a lot better in a lot of areas. Before we get off on our normal show, I want to make sure to plug Technoid Showcase, which is Tuesday. It's celebrating female founders. We've got a keynote who is really second to none in the fintech space in Chicago, Christy Ross, who is the co-CEO of Tasty Trade. That's going to be exciting. We've got five startup companies who are actually right now, half of them are at the Women Tech Conference at Google. So that's pretty cool. We're going to find out a lot more about that later. But at any rate, before we get rolling, I just wanted to check in with everyone. How is everyone's last 2 days? Shelly, how you been doing?
I've been doing good. I'm trying to think. Nothing really spectacular has happened. I'm just excited to be back and see your face.
This is great.
Yeah.
Sean, I know you did all kinds of exciting things.
Well, I'm getting real comfortable over at Tech Nexus, getting to know that space and know the people there. It's a wonderful tech incubator.
It is. I think everyone gives a lot of credit to 1871. We're shuffling back to Tech Nexus and actually taking over the office that I started with in 2013. So it's kind of cool to be back at the old stomping ground. Yeah. It's a little more grown up. 1871's... You know, I think you find more stories at 1871, but there's more business, I feel like, more big business taking place at Tech Nexus. At least that's the way it feels so far.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, you'll come back and talk about it later.
Yeah, right.
So we might as well jump right into it. I think the show is fitting, given the fact that we've got free agency and the draft and baseball, spring training, hockey, even though the Blackhawks, I don't even know. We'll get into that
killing
a little
it,
bit.
Man, they're killing it.
They are, but I was at the game the other day, and it's like, how many times are you going to be able to get down 3-4-1 and then make a comeback?
Yeah.
Like they're so good at, like, you never count them out, but at the same time, like, I feel like they put themselves in a hole and are working incredibly hard, you know, for what they need to.
Hockey's a streaky sport, man. You gotta ride your team while they're hot, you know. So it's bound to ease up a little bit heading into the playoffs. But you know, sometimes tasting some of that defeat is good, you know, to have right before you go in. But it's been interesting. It's been a fun ride. So everyone's having a good time.
Well, if anyone is wondering why you sound like you know what you're talking about when it comes to talking about hockey, this is Chris
Burhans,
because I don't know how to read, the founder of Sports Mockery. And we had you on when I had the original show, Tomorrow's Business Today. And now we're in Technoid Live. And I think there's a lot of things I want to talk about. We're probably going to spend most of the show talking about sports. But, you know, you are a very interesting media company. And we were talking offline beforehand about the fact that you are capitalizing on sports as such a hot issue. And what we try to do here at Technoid is not the same as Sports Mockery, but it's very similar in that people have a lot of big opinions, and we share a lot of companies that are very early on. And so you can really share your opinion strong if you want to about what you think the right thing to do at this time for this company is. And so, you know, in a lot of ways we're very social media driven in the way that we grow our show, similar to Sports Mockery. So for those who don't know what Sports Mockery is, why don't you give everyone kind of a quick elevator pitch on what exactly Sports Mockery is?
Sure. We specialize in breaking news and rumors in Chicago. We are a website entertainment company that basically is an alternate to the mainstream media that's out there. So we have a lot of people that work very hard to gather and curate all the different Chicago sports news surrounding the internet. We put it in all one place on sportsmockery.com. And really, it's just a place for fans to go there, get their news, and really read sports in more of a relaxed manner. You know, we have journalists that work very hard, but we prepare our product in a certain way to present more of a relaxed feel to the fan. You know, when people read our articles, it's more like you're talking to your buddy sitting on a bar stool or something like that. You know, so for us, it's very beneficial to, you know, continue to work with many people in Chicago. Like you said, you know, our engagement is very important on social media. And, you know, we have a lot of people that download our Sports Mockery app as well. So we like to stay in tune with everything Chicago sports, and we just curate it and provide it back to the fans in a, you know, funny way that is more relaxed and an alternate to traditional mainstream media.
And I don't want to, like, cut down the mainstream media you're talking about, but I feel the same way about what we do, and I feel the same way about what you do. What I like Sports Mockery is I think a lot of the media companies, it's just it's regurgitated numbers. It's stuff that bots are doing. It's stuff like, that's why I think it's fine to have you on this tech show, because the reality is what most of the companies, ESPN, even Tribune and all the other ones who do their sports stuff, it's just, it's the bottom line that's streaking across the TV. Here's the score. It's 7-2. Meh. Someone went 3-for-4. Nah. There's nothing there. There's no meat there. There's no opinion. There's nothing to really get jazzed about. The score is there, and that's all they leave you with. And the story sometimes, I think, I mean, they could almost be labeled branded content, because they are writing something that you want to make sure that we make this person look good, because it's in our best interest. And I feel like sports mockery is like more about what the people who are reading it or listening like want to know about. Like, I want to know weird little things that these guys do before the game, like rumors. I remember when I had you on the first time, the Cubs had lost in the playoffs, but there was the Pittsburgh had the window, if you don't remember.
Yeah, where the
guy, dude had like gone upstairs and flipped the sign upside
it
down.
It said Bucks in the window, BUCS, and then our guy went up there, switched around to say Cubs, and it went viral on social media because it was in Pittsburgh during the game.
And that's the thing that like the new person wants to read about. That's like it's not the fake news. It's just I'm going to get all the regular stuff anyway. Like just by watching and just like my updates on my phone, I'm going to find out all the scores and stuff that I want to know. I want to know like the fun, the sports fan part of this stuff. And that's what you guys do so well.
Yeah. You know, throughout my experience in this business, what I found is that there really is this gray area when it comes to journalism. You know, a lot of professional journalists out there have very high standards, and they uphold those standards on an everyday basis in their, you know, joy to read. However, you know, our approach is a little more relaxed. We specialize in more some of that side news, some of the things that people want to know about. You know, some of the, you know, this fan got a really cool Jake Arrieta haircut, you know, check out the picture type thing. You know, there's just a lot more that goes into it than the everyday news, because the news can be boring. And, you know, the traditional news slows down. However, social media is always going. There's always players posting stuff to their Instagram. There's always something to talk about, you know. And really what we like to do is give fans more of a chance to talk. You know, my biggest knock on, you know, traditional media is just the fact that most of them are so big, they don't really have time to reply back to fans, right? So if you have a real big social media personality / journalist and they make posts every so often, they might have 500 comments under there and they don't really have a chance to talk back to the fans. Whereas with Sports Mockery, we like to give our fans a lot of time to talk, and we take their opinion. We put their opinions in our articles. You know, we retweet their opinions all the time. You know, our goal is to really get the heartbeat of the Chicago fan when we post our news. And, you know, with that comes a lot of information that's in addition to the traditional side. You know, so-and-so got hurt, but maybe, you know, maybe this guy was seen at the club, you know, hanging out, you know, and someone took a picture and sent it to us. Or somebody, you know, met, you know, Ryan Sandberg and he donated something to their family. You know, we have a lot of good feel-good stories that go into it too. It's not like trash, but it's just, it's a different kind of news that now exists that people want to hear about, that are more like nuggets and tidbits about things that aren't necessarily a traditional journalism publication.
Well, I think that's actually what people, for the most part, I think it's what people are actually looking for, right? I mean, I think that at this stage, we have changed the way we consume everything. Everything is social media. It's little bites here and there. It's photos. It's gotcha.
Attention spans are shrinking.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. It gets less and less every minute. So when I think about what you guys do, it just makes me think, I don't want to like shit on the other guy, but it makes me feel like they're just out of touch. Like it's almost a lazy approach at this point. Like anyone can stand there and look at the box score and just throw it out there. Like that's,
yeah, and, you know, some of these guys, though, I feel like they do deserve a lot of credit, because, you know, really what happens in the traditional media that a lot of people don't know about is, you know, for instance, like someone that covers, let's say, the Chicago Bears, you know, they have very specific rules they have to follow. You know, they might attend practice and see things they're not allowed to put on social media. You know, the Bears have one of the most strict media policies in the entire NFL, you know, really in the sports landscape altogether. So we're not necessarily attached to that. We have a lot of people that we do business with and affiliate with that are under that umbrella, but we're a little more free with what we can post, and you know, people enjoy that relaxed approach to content more so than, again, kind of that serious, like you said, here's the score, here's the injury, here's what so-and-so said after the game. What we like to do more is try to read into some of that and maybe try to predict what's going to happen. You know, we're not always right, no one is, but it's real fun to talk predictions, talk the draft, guess who the Bears are going to draft. And, you know, that's really where our sweet spot is. We like to talk and engage with our audience, and we found that a lot of the fans, when they get a chance to talk back, they enjoy it. You know, they like to hear their voice, you know, featured on our 312 podcast, or possibly, you know, retweeted on our Sports Mockery account, you know, because we have a lot of followers and a lot of people, you know, like to see that. So it's real fun.
So what is your background to get into something like this? I feel like you are, every time I talk to you, you know even more about this industry than like than anyone I talk to at any of these major places. You're so in touch with it. What is your background that decided, other than a sports fan, I mean, I get that side, South side for sure. Like, I get that. But how do you, what was the impetus for you to be like, oh, you know what? This, I just don't like what I'm reading or seeing, and I'm going to do it on my own, and then here's how I'm going to do it. How did you build this business so quickly?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of an interesting story. My background's in technology. I have a very heavy technology background. I have a master's in data security. So I have a heavy tech background. And, you know, when I first got one of my first jobs out of college, you know, a lot of our buddies were emailing back and forth constantly, talking about the games, talking about the scores, everything else. And I was kind of like, guys, we shouldn't really be doing this in work, number one. And two, we should build a website to track all this. You know, the idea kind of sort of started with a lot of people saying like, oh, I knew that was going to happen, or I called that. I'm like, no, you didn't. You lie. You know, I'm going to write this down somewhere so we know. And it started with like really 50 to, you know, probably 75 Southside friends that all got on and started kind of talking about sports. And the popularity really started to grow. People just wanted to chime in. People just wanted
to talk. It's like a fantasy football league gone rogue.
Yeah, it really was. And after about 10 months, I sat down and I was like, guys, we may have something good here. And I rebranded it, rebuilt the tech. We have some really good tech that comes along with our stuff. You know, a lot of people are very familiar with Bleacher Report and TeamStream. Well, our website functions the exact same way. You go to our homepage and it's all the Chicago professional teams in one feed of stuff. You're going to see tweets in there, Instagram, everything, you know. So we really, we do well on the tech side due to my background. And I feel that helps us give a good, you know, a good product back to the fans, because we do our best to really, you know, have a clean site with all of our marketing and everything we do. And then when it comes to social media, I have a lot of experience. I've spent a lot of money growing our social media accounts. And, you know, it's a hobby of mine. I really like social media. I like what each different social media platform really brings to the table from a business perspective. And it's something that I study quite often.
Yeah, well, it's pretty evident. And I think it's probably the reason that you were, as we mentioned before, that a lot of these different kind of one-off sports, non-traditional platforms have kind of disappeared, because they're not really run like a business. And you were definitely business minded. It's definitely like X's and O's, which is funny because it's sports. But, you know, you've got this whole thing down. And ultimately, the package is amazing. What are the parts about going against the traditional media company? I'm gonna pose this in two formats. The first one is, when you first started, what did you notice, or what were the challenges and things that you learned about going up against the traditional giants? And then we'll step back and look at it now, because they're getting buckled at the knees by people like you. So,
you know, to be honest, when we first started, we noticed that there weren't a lot of people out there willing to help. Yep. You know, when we first got started, you know, I actually have said it a lot in our business meetings with SportsMocker. You know, there's any person in their basement can start up a site and start writing if they want to. You know, with the capabilities of the internet and technology these days, anybody can really stand up anything. You know, it was important for us to really build a brand. So a lot of the traditional news outlets, they do a lot like building people's names. So like a lot of the beat writers, you know them by name. Well, I took a different approach with SportsMocker and wanted to build a brand. And we are very focused on our brand and building something. So when we said SportsMocker, you know what it meant. It wasn't like, you know, Shy City, Windy City. It wasn't anything like related. Yeah. It was something we tried to make that was completely different. And we didn't get a lot of support from anyone. And we got even less support when we would start to post information that we found that they didn't have, right? So you have these big beat writers that get a lot of information, and you know, that's what they're employed to do. But sometimes the little guys like us, we come across stuff too. We have a lot of friends, we have a lot of sources, we have a lot of affiliates. And so when we put out information that they may not know about, you know, sometimes it creates tension, because they have then their fans are going to them saying, hey, did you see SportsMocker report about this? And they're like, well, SportsMocker is nothing. Listen to me. You know, I'm the one that's been doing this forever. So it took a long time to win people over. And truthfully, what we did from a business perspective was, I sat my guys down. I said, listen, you know, we can't go asking for handouts. You know, we're going to meet as many people as we can. We're going to shake as many hands as we can. But what we're going to focus on is growing. Because if we grow our audience to a certain size, if we grow big enough, then they're not going to be able to ignore us anymore. Yeah. They're not going to be able to not answer us anymore. And, you know, the second part of your question, kind of over time, a lot of doors have opened up. You know, I was down, I was fortunate enough to attend Game 7 of the World Series. It was an unforgettable time. Got to meet, like, David Kaplan down there. Yeah. And, you know, we formed a lot of relationships with a lot of people. Nick Friedel was just on our last podcast, you know, the guy who covers the Bulls. So we have, you know, a lot of good relationships with traditional media. So we don't really bash them anyway. We just try to make sure that everyone understands we're an alternate source to them. Yep. And it's hard, because inevitably people put us together as the same and compare us, which we have no control over. You know, so sometimes it creates tension because we do have a pretty large audience, and that's because we have a brand. It's not just my name or someone saying, "Hell, most people that like sports mock probably have no idea who I am if they're watching this."
Yeah.
Because I don't really put my face on things. We're a brand, and that's really what we build.
Yeah, so I mean that's pretty evident, and honestly, to the second point that you made, I think what's really interesting about this is ultimately all of the traditional companies, broadcast media, all the traditional media production companies, when they looked at you before, they had no choice. They have to, this is new. We don't like the style of doing things. It's trash. It's not what we do. And now, regardless of how many people follow you, it's quite honestly they have no choice. Like they just have no choice. And it's funny to me that how quickly it seemed like for years everyone was saying to them, you've got to really learn like that there's new media tools out there and you've got to use it and you've got to embrace it and embrace change. And they just, no, we're not doing this. And now finally, it seems to me at least that people are starting to turn the corner like, all right, now they're looking to companies like SportsMog, like kind of knocking you off a little bit and like trying to bring you in.
Well, I think what they're starting to realize is that a lot of the things that were forecasted are starting to come true. You know, like a lot of people, I felt about 4 years ago, I gave a speech at this business dinner I was speaking at explaining how I thought the landscape of news was changing, that it wasn't only going to be like the Chicago Tribune and WGN anymore, that there were going to be other people that can contribute now. With social media being so big, everybody has a chance to be on the 9 o'clock news, depending on what you catch on your phone, walking down the street and where you are. So I felt that there was really a chance for some of these smaller media companies, if branded properly and represented the right way, that we could create our own niche in the city. And that was really always our goal from the beginning. We were never trying to really go against anyone. We were just introducing something new. Inevitably, it wasn't accepted. And then now 4 years later, the rise of social media, now a lot of the business tools, a lot of the really pertinent assets of growing your company and making money rely on your knowledge of these social media. So the traditional journalists are forced to come back, because honestly, if you're a traditional journalist these days and you don't have your name connected to a Tribune or a WGN or a bigger brand, it's pretty hard to make it on your own. So, we represent a place for some of those guys. Like we have some very, very talented people on our staff that they don't have jobs for the Tribune. Some of them have jobs elsewhere and they do it on the side, but they do a darn good job and they work real hard. So for us, we think that there's talent there and we think that there's a lot of information that people are going to want to read about. That's again, an alternate to the guy, standing up at the bonfire, talking to everybody who's sitting down. We're more the party you show up to. Everyone talks to each other. You got something good to say. You can get up on stage and say it. We'll put you on our site to say it, and that's really, we're just looking for the best content we can find.
And I also think like one of the reasons that your value is going to become incredibly high, it's already high, but like, I think it's going to get even higher, is the fact that you ultimately, your listeners are the real, like, not that they're not real fans, but like are the real fan, like the diehard fans, like in the world of advertising targeting, there's people who just happen to be there, enthusiasts, is sort of like, yeah, I'm in the picture. And then there's the people who are like, I'm in the picture. I'm wearing my Bulls shirt. I'm going to the game. I went to 7 games. I eat a hot dog. I have a routine. Like, this is what I do. And those people, the more passionate and the more sort of connected they are with your brand, the more valuable they are to all of the people who advertise and sponsor this stuff. And that, I think, is ultimately something that all of the bigger traditional models have gone away from because they just – there's so much random stuff, so much broad scope stuff, so basic, not grained in, they can't target the way that you do. And so that's one of the things that I think you've built ultimately that makes it so that with such a great brand, you can go into Milwaukee, go into other cities and launch and get all of the real like hardcore fans on first. And if you do that, I mean, you're going to win the city because it's the heart of the city.
Yeah, one of our mantras for the company when we first started was we were just working hard for the fan. When we originally started this, we weren't into it to make money or anything like that. We did it just because we all had a passion. I grew up with 4 or 5 guys that were my best friend, and we were the guys out, playing basketball in front of the house until 11 o'clock at night, until the neighbors tell me to go to sleep. So that's really where it started. And to build a business around it and to keep it constantly changing and adapting is challenging. But we have a good team of people that really do a great job. And I feel that our fans appreciate that. They know how hard we work for them. And that's really where I think some of that loyalty comes in for us, is our fans just kind of understand that we're out there kind of busting our butt to give them the best product we can put together.
Chris, this has been awesome. I hope you can come back again and keep us up to date. What are the things we should be looking out for with regard to the new podcast? It's not new anymore, 50-plus episodes in. 312, where do people go to find out Sports Mockery? Is there an app? Is there, like, what's all the stuff that we can go download and find?
Yeah, you can check us out on sportsmockery.com. We also have an app which makes us, you know, quite different than a lot of the smaller blogs out there. We have an app design that's, again, very similar, like a team stream type app. You can download the Sports Mockery app. We have our new podcast that's called The 312. It's focused on all Chicago sports. We got Matt Peck, Matt Zawaski, and then Sean Sears is our producer of that. Great content there. And then obviously on all the social medias, you can find us too. If not, you know, if you're a sports fan, chances are you're going to see us somewhere because your friend probably likes us or your dad probably likes us. So, you know, we're just trying to get the word out there and let people know that we're an alternate choice to the traditional media out there. And it's a lot of fun. So if you come check us out, I think you'll like what you see.
This is awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome. We're going to skip over to our news now. We always got our newest segment, Sean, the feed. Everyone knows on the feed, but he's also going to be our news guy from now on. And I think he's got some pretty cool stuff to talk about.
Hey, so I'm Sean Frelick, host of The Feed. I'm here to dish top tech news with a bonus slice of weird. Hungry? Let's feed. The annual Midwest Women in Tech Conference was held at Chicago's Google office. The annual event is a meeting for top Chicago women CEOs and investors. The purpose of the event includes discussing plans to bridge the gap, keeping women from investment and seats at the table. And hey, you can meet these leaders at Tuesday's Technori Showcase. Neato. Look out, crowdfunding is expanding in Chicago. Emil Cambry, founder of Blue 1647, started Blue Fund, a crowdfunding platform meant for entrepreneurs in underserved communities in Chicago. Blue 1647 is an innovation space in Pilsen for business training and mentorship. Dozens of early startups will be headed to Blue 1647 to earn their first investments. When you think startups, you probably think Walmart. No, you don't. Walmart is entering the startup game. The corporation revealed its new incubator called Store Number 8, a workspace in Silicon Valley for tech developers to create retail technology. Walmart is off to a slow 2017 and wants to better compete with Amazon as human buying behavior goes digital. But please, Walmart, don't replace your greeters. They rule. Also, where can I buy those blue vests? Finally, our Technori shout-out goes to Jellyvision. They raised a whopping $20 million to cash out early investors. Jellyvision started off making games, but now helps people file for insurance with humorous interactive software. That's it for the feed. You can find me on Technori and WGNRadio.com every Monday afternoon, or show up at my house, whatever works for you.
Thank you, Sean. That's awesome. I cannot wait to find out more about what Jellyvision is doing. I think people don't quite understand the significance of some of these later rounds for young companies, where they take an investment and all the people who were the stockholders, if you will, the people who helped Jellyvision through the early stage finally got a payday. I don't know how far the story went into it, but all of the companies and the individual investors that put that seed stage money up, they just raised $20 million to get them all paid. So it's pretty cool to see what Amanda has built over at Jellyvision. And she's been on Technori many times. She's been a keynote. So stay tuned to what goes on with Jellyvision. Very cool. So we are back in studio. This is Scott Catoon, the host of the Startup Showcase, Technori Live on WGN. Our next guest, Box Scores, we've got Mike Lynch, Box Score Games, sorry. And we've got to make sure, first and foremost, that you pronounce everything right for me, because I can't pronounce anything right apparently today. We're off to a famous start. But you guys are working on an app game right now for March Madness, if you can go into that a little bit.
Yeah, so just a little bit about what we do as a company. Box Score is, we create games for people to play on their phone during live sporting events. And we have this theory that's starting to, you know, pay off for us right now, is there's this audience that's really, really underserved out there in the marketplace, and that's the casual sports fan, right? If you wanted to sign up for three fantasy football leagues on three different sites, you could do that in 5 minutes. There's this other group of people who still see, you know, sports as social, who are watching an event for 2 to 3 hours, that want to play games that are based on the real-time events. So what we're doing right now throughout the tournament is we've created a game and partnered up with a couple big brands that are allowing us to kind of pilot out this game that people play that are based on the real-time stats that go on through each college basketball game that's going on. So it's really kind of a fun, really easy to play game. that's allowed, you know, people to kind of have a social fun aspect to the tournament that's different than your standard bracket games.
So this is awesome because when I was a kid, I mean, when I say kid, I mean like a couple days ago, I was playing video games against, you know, I play against a computer. At some point, like the online gaming thing on like PS3 or whatever, PS4, I don't know what people are playing now, Xbox. When I play these games, what ends up happening is first off, there's tech problems, right? So like it starts freezing, whatever.
Right.
So I get beat a few times, and I just don't even want to play anymore. Yeah. So what I do is I just do season mode. And in season mode, I've always wanted to be able to import all the stats and all the things that like are real. So I could like go against the like, you know, it's like fake meets reality.
Right.
And finally, with the apps you guys are building, it's like a real thing. Like I can actually go out and play against sort of like the curve, play against what's really going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're pulling in the real-time data, the real-time stats, right? Every event, you know, football game, basketball game has thousands and thousands of events, right?
How do you do that? Like how does...
So we actually license out the statistics, and then our technology on the back end that we've built over the last probably year and a half has allowed us to kind of filter through those statistics. And we create different types of games based on what those statistics are, right? So really super easy games. That's kind of how box score games, right? We take something from a box score and create a game out of it.
That is awesome. I have to ask, how was this, like, how did this come to be? And what are your backgrounds? Like, this is the honest to God truth. I used to go in and I would go into, like, the custom mode in the games and I'd change all the names or I'd, like, upload the new rosters so we had, like, all the real people. And then I would immediately go and change all the numbers and attributes and things to like try to match roughly what reality is.
Yeah.
That's as far as my brain went. You guys actually like created an actual game around it. We're like, oh, we can license this. How do you do that?
You know, we started it because it was actually something we always did at like baseball games or at, you know, Super Bowl parties is you play these like really simple games, like side games, side bets.
Because you're drunk. So it's like.
Right, you're drunk. And, you know, the problem was you'd get drunk and you had a hard time keeping track of your actual stats, right?
Yeah.
So we actually had a game where we used to, in the stadiums, we'd bet on how many pitches were going to be thrown in a half inning of a baseball game. Super random,
no
right?
Degenerates there.
Right,
no degenerates at all, right?
So you're, you know, by the seventh inning, the guy that's in charge of this, you know, keeping track of the pitch count, right? You have no idea what it is. He's like, I don't know, 24, right? So we're like, hey, you know, there's got to be a better digital solution, right? And you guys all, you know this is, you know, that, you know, majority of people are constantly on their phone, right? We use the stat that 85% of people are consistently on their phone during a live sporting event. It's probably higher than that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right? So we said, hey, let's go create, you know, some of these games that we've already played on paper or in a cup or whatever it is. Let's put it on one platform, right, that people can go to and play a game based on their location, based on their interests, based on their time, you know, the time of the year, and have one central solution for people to play these types of games with their friends, someone at the bar that they're sitting next to, you know, what have you, and kind of have this one brand box score to be able to kind of go do that. And so we spent a good amount of time building out the technology, figuring out how are we going to, you know, work with all these stats that are coming in and create something really simple and easy. And that's one of the things that we really focus on is we're not necessarily targeting that diehard sports fan. We know they're going to play our games because they're already watching the event. It's getting their two or three other friends that are just there to kind of watch the game or, you know, are a Bears fan but can't name five people on the team, right, that they can actually play the game as well. And it becomes this kind of social, you know, gathering on your phone and playing with, you know, your friends.
Well, I'm going to bring in Showbiz Shelley on this a little because I have to because we talk about the social end of this, and she's got a segment that she's going to be coming up with in a second. And I just thought, from a female's standpoint, not just female, but like usually guys end up going to the game and they bring their girlfriend, and the girlfriend's just kind of like, all right,
I think Chicago is more of a girl sports town than
definitely.
Any other town.
Definitely.
Because I have girlfriends who we were at the bar. They were so in on when with the March Madness thing going on. They're so in. They know all the teams. So they would love this. But what you just said it a minute ago about you like the Bears, but you can't name five people on the team, that's me.
Right.
And so this, for me, is something that I think is great. But like you say, you have the guys who love the scores, and I think they would like that too.
Yeah, absolutely. So she is our target market.
Yeah.
So
before
I leave, she's going to sign up and play. We're going to have her playing. So
we'll make this happen.
She is the target market, right, that will watch Bears games, hang out with her friends, but want to, you know, sees, you know, her buddies that are hanging out, have looking at their three different leagues that they're in, and she's like, what is all of that?
I've been asked to be on so many fantasy teams, and I say no, because I know it's a waste of my time. I'm just going to do the automatic thing. thing, you know, where that just does it for you, because I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know anyone who's good or bad. So.
And you're so right about Chicago and female sports fans. Go to a sports bar on a Saturday or Sunday. It's like at this point, I feel like it's like 70% to 80% female, right? And it's just amazing how
well the sports teams have done a really nice job accessorizing. I hear that's what I heard.
It's true. I have some really cute Cubs gear. I will tell you this with sequins.
That's a big part of it. It used to be like, oh, you throw this big bag. No, this is actually. That's an incredibly probably sexist remark that I just made. I apologize for it. But,
it's okay.
But this is a real thing, actually, though, because if you used to go back, I mean, think back like 5 years ago, even 5 years ago, the jerseys and everything was like small, medium, large, and it was just a boxy, baggy jersey. And girls would be like, I'm not wearing, like they borrow their boyfriend's jersey or they're not going to buy a jersey.
I don't think it's sexy. I think it's very inclusive, right? I mean,
well, it is now. But originally, I felt like they would it was just like one size fits all and whatever. And now there's so many things for ladies to wear and pick out that it's like actually like, all right, now I get to look good and go out and drink.
I have a t-shirt that says Javi Baez. That's very, it's cute. You don't get it?
Oh, no, I get it.
I love it. It's like my favorite t-shirt. So
I'm still trying to process this in my head. I get it.
Are you writing it out and seeing?
That's a box score game. Here we go.
Yeah, right. We might have to have that game. Maybe use that game this summer for. Yeah.
So anyway, you've got this thing going. Mm-hmm. I feel like this has got to be, oh, man. I mean, MLB with their app, the MLB app is amazing. I feel like this has got to be just tailor-made for baseball and for the stadiums. Because, like, the NFL, NBA, meh. Yeah. The NFL's starting to get in it a little bit with like being a little bit more understanding and tech savvy with their people. The NBA still feel like when you go to the game, it's like, here's 75 pieces of paper and cards that we're going to be playing on the big screen. I hope you're watching. Like, it's weird.
It's funny you say that. We were just invited to the Chicago Bulls Brand Summit 2 weeks ago.
They need you.
Right. And it was about, you know, they brought in all their advertisers and just really it was a, you know, first class event and, you know, just really educating them on what's going on in the sports marketing landscape. But
it's funny because NBA does a good job.
They do a great job.
Like holistically. But I don't know. Maybe it's just the Bulls. I don't know. But it just feels to me like baseball, which is funny because it's, of course, maybe they needed it the most because it's such a kind of boring game.
You might be right.
But they really signed on quickly to like getting people being able to digitally on the MLB app, be able to do all this stuff. How are you guys tying in with the pro sports teams? Or is this something that's more sort of like the fan finds out?
So we first started with kind of just working with the fans. So we have two customers, right? First customer being the sports fan, and then we'll tie in, bring in some
And then
sponsors.
Showbiz Shelley's the second
right,
customer.
Right, that's the second one. We're going to have a whole division
you knew that
focused
was coming.
On her.
I know,
absolutely. So, you know, we haven't tied into any teams yet. We did just sign our first NBA player that's going to have his own game. In about 2 weeks, we're going to go live with it and give a little tease at what it is. It's actually going to be a trivia game that you actually get to go head-to-head with him. So it's going to be awesome. So he's going to be able to get on in our platform. Everyone will get
no
an alert.
No plugs on who this guy is?
No, not yet. So we're close to kind
of... Jersey number?
Jersey, yeah. It's between 0 and 72. So, you know, we've gone a different route of not necessarily partnering up with the teams. And just from... We wanted to go kind of sports fan first. Because we wanted to get really creative in what we're doing, right? And you know, sometimes you can be a little bit kind of held back with how you can be creative. And then, you know, then we want to kind of start working with the teams and say, hey, look at what we've done here. And in one of our interesting stats that we share a lot is on average, someone will spend 11 minutes in our game during a live event. So for that 3 hour event, they're on our app for 11 minutes, which in the mobile world is huge, right? So your Instagrams
crazy.
Are, you know, in the 30s and 30
that's got
minutes
man, I mean, that's insane. Yeah. When you think about the games that exist out there that, you know, you play 30 seconds roughly. I mean, most of them are zip like through.
Well, like you just said, attention spans are shrinking. So that's huge.
And so you to have that, that's wow.
Right. So that's kind of now that we're kind of taking it to the next step and saying, hey, this is what we've learned. This is, hey, you want to reach people on your phone during live sporting events. Don't spend that, you know, 30-second commercial during Sunday Night Football if you want to reach someone on their phone, right? This is what we're doing is we're bringing that opportunity to some of these brands who want to be able to connect with people in an authentic way. So, you know, as we kind of go through the next step here, I think, you know, next fall we'll probably start working with a couple teams. Just this morning I had a hockey team reach out to us. that wants to set up a meeting. We're having a call tomorrow. So it's interesting. We didn't pursue the teams, but now we're getting a little bit of press about us, and they're starting to look at some other opportunities because I think some of their advertisers, their fans are looking for things like this.
You know what's funny, and I don't know if you're going to agree with this, and I wish we had Chris still sitting here on the mic because I'm sure he would definitely not agree with me, but if you
it's a good way to start this, whatever you're going to say, by the way.
No, this is, if you come on our show more often, you'll recognize that this is how most things start with me. Like, I think this is something I'm going to say is wrong and terrible, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to go anyway.
Yeah.
No, you know what's funny? I think that the attention span plus just the, I don't want to say sophistication because that's not the right word. It's the everyone watches sports. It's just so big now. It's so much money. I almost feel like we're heading back towards, and this isn't a bad thing, but we're heading back towards like minor league baseball. Do you remember back in the day when minor league baseball was like, what kind of ploy, what kind of trickery, what kind of game, what kind of gamesmanship, what kind of thing can we do for the fans? Like, you know, mug night is not mug night. Like, it's filled with booze and there's some sort of contest. Like, that was the fun kind of outlandish stuff they would do. And I almost feel like we've gone so far, and this is probably why ESPN's getting crushed, so far in the sports development and reaching people all the way to Shohei Ohtani and beyond, that they're bored. I'm simply put, I don't have the attention span anymore to watch a Bulls. Like, the Hawks games, I am blessed that I've been to like 7 Hawks games and Bulls games this year, and they're always in a skybox. And I'm telling you, I would say no if it weren't in the skybox because I can get hammered.
Right. And just, the dessert tray is awesome.
If now, this might be a separate issue, by the way. I think you're going down this route that you just want to get hammered at these games.
Well, no, I just listen. This is my. I'm just coming out to tell everyone right now that this is my. No.
But I see what you're saying. No.
But like, I just. And it's not that I have to get hammered. I can drink soda pops too. Right. I mean, I don't. But the point is, I'm bored with it. At the end of like either like even this sounds like I'm an alcoholic. Holy cow! When I go to the Northwestern games, Go Cats. When I go to the Northwestern games, we end up just like, we'll call it tailgating. We're cooking. We cook for the first quarter and a half.
Right.
Because it's just like, you know, nothing's going to get decided at this point.
Yeah.
And I think that if I was going to the game and I had a game within the game that was tied to the game, I would pay attention.
Exactly. So that's what, you know, we have a saying that like every play matters, right? It brings back the fan into like paying attention rather than just the last 2 minutes of the game.
I just think it's run out.
Exactly. Because there's just so much content out there, I think, too. There's just so much you can
and
follow.
And most of it's crappy.
Right. I agree with you. And so I think, you know, we're trying to tie into like, hey, there's actually events going on at the game, you know, that specifically might help you win something, or be part of it.
I think that's such a great point. Because, when every time I go to a Cubs game, I can't even tell you, like, who's on the base. I'm there, and I want them to win, and I want them to do well. But I'm just not paying attention to every little detail of it. You know what I mean?
100%. So, I look at this, and I just think, you know, to that whole point, imagine then with Chris with Sports Mockery, and imagine with Box Score. If I'm sitting here at the game, and I'm you, Showbiz, or I'm me, or I'm Sean, or any of these people sitting here, the sports fanatic has what he wants no matter what, right? The game is being played in front of him. If that's what your thing is, that's what your thing is. The person next to him might be a sports fan, but maybe casual. They have a game to play and something else to do. A person who might not actually care about the sports game, it's the actual gamesmanship itself, but is a huge fan of the team, can look at, like, on Sports Mockery and read about the rumors and the trends and the things and all the little tweets and all this stuff that's going on. I think when we package this up, I think the future of all the sports consumption is you sitting here and Sean sitting here and Chris sitting here, all these people being like really engulfed in the thing and no longer just reporting on the game itself. It's almost like the game is the reason we showed up, but that's not why we're here.
Yeah, I agree with you. We want people playing our games at Home Depot while the Cubs game's going on, right? We want it to be that play matters so much, or that player statistics are happening, you know, in the game live. Right?
My last question for you before I let you head out of here is, what do you see? Because this is, I really think you're on to something huge here. I think this is obviously you can do Box Score and other stuff, games and other stuff. But what is the next step for you guys to make this a big national thing? How can you further, other than just live streaming the sporting stats, how can you further integrate into the professional sports viewing, watching, listening, game playing, live or digital experience?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So, you know, one of the things we just launched was a new camera filter within the game where you actually can put your face on an actual basketball uniform and you can change your hair. You can do all these, you know, different types of things that actually puts you in the game.
Yep.
So we're actually trying to get to a point where you actually feel like you're part of the game, right? And so from like a national side of things is we need to have that traction. And, you know, we have a couple of things with this NBA player coming up that allows us to, you know, nationally people kind of see what we're doing and understand that, hey, this is really easy to play and I can play it with my friends. But I think, you know, the next step for us is kind of a platform where I'm checking into it every single day because I'm getting so much content and I'm getting so much value of being part of the BoxScore platform.
I could see this becoming like the next fantasy football type craze, honestly, just because, again, I go back to like the attention span. Mm-hmm. You know, like fantasy sports now, I mean, I remember the first couple times I did like a couple teams and then it's like one team and then it's like, okay. Like you just get bored with it, which is pathetic, but true. Right. And now, you know, you saw the influx of the daily fantasy sports daily because people are just like, mostly because they're gambling degenerates. But but there was definitely right. those who want it just daily. And this yeah. is something like micro. Like
exactly.
this keeps my attention span for the next 3 minutes.
Right. Exactly. I agree with you 100%.
We are all going, I don't even know.
I
where.
Love it.
This is,
yeah, right.
This
yeah,
is awesome.
This is great.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Where do people
you.
Go to download the app and learn more about it?
So just go to boxscoregames.com. Or search in the iTunes store or Android store, BoxScore.
And then I know you guys have the March Madness event coming up,
yep.
or it's still going
on. So it's
on.
Going on right now. Yep. So so it's going well, you know, with a lot of people playing during the game. So we have some games tonight.
And at the end of it, they win. There's going to be a viewing party, I think, at some point.
Yeah, so I think we are going to have a viewing party. I don't know specifically yep. where that is.
Tom and
right
I started
now.
Working on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I don't know where you guys decided where it was.
We were doing the viewing party early, and we haven't yeah. figured out. Maybe I shouldn't go, because you don't want me sitting there drinking.
Right,
it could be ridiculous.
Right. Yeah,
soda.
We actually know where
soda
it is.
Scott.
We just don't want to tell you. Yeah,
this is ridiculous. I feel like I just got like punked on my
head. Go to our website; it'll be there. But don't. Yeah.
Or will that redirect me to helpline? 1-800-HELPLINE.
That's hilarious.
Holy cow! This is awesome. We have derailed. This is great. Thank you
awesome.
So much.
Appreciate it.
So we got everyone back on the show here, Sean and Shelley. We're going to kick Shelley over and find out a little bit more about the entertainment side of tech.
Yes. So I love this. So Chris Sacca. You probably know him, Shark Tank. I mean, that's how I know of him. So he's a big heavyweight in the tech industry. And he, of course, is an early investor in things like Twitter, Uber, Instagram, Kickstarter. Well, he now is going to put actor on his resume. I love this. So he's going to appear as himself in the pilot episode of a new series, which is also going to star and be directed by Zach Braff, who, of course, you probably know from Scrubs. So the premise is Braff's character is a mid-30s husband and father of two who decides to upend his life by quitting his job to start up his own business. Isn't this interesting that is he going to make a good actor?
More importantly, is he going to wear the Western flavored shirts?
I bet he will.
Those shirts are so sexy.
Because they are sexy.
Yeah, they are.
Not. But yeah, he's
what?
Gonna,
are you kidding?
I'm not a fan.
What are you doing?
I'm not a fan.
That's nuts.
You know me. I'm a Mark
I know you're
Cuban
a Mark Cuban girl.
I'm a Mark Cuban girl. Yeah.
He looks like he has a six shooter on him. That's hot.
You know what it is, too? It's the facial hair.
Yeah, looks like trash. It's terrific. This guy's a stud.
I mean, what I will say is he owns it, so I appreciate that.
He owns that and $2 billion worth of other stock.
Amongst other things, yes.
When you're one of the earlyans on Twitter and the rest of them, you can wear whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, this is true.
Sorry, I hijacked my Chris. Everyone knows that you're a Mark Cuban girl and I'm a Mark Cuban boy, or I'm a Chris Sacca boy.
Yeah, but the thing is I love when they fight on Shark Tank. That's like my thing.
It's the best.
Best. Right, Sean, do you have a preference? Any?
I just know more about Mark Cuban because of basketball.
I am
getting into Shark Tank. I'm a new adopter of Shark Tank.
Sokka's the man.
Okay.
Cuban's good, too.
I like Cuban.
I agree with the T-shirt thing. I'm against the Sokka T-shirt.
Yeah.
Not
the Sokka
for it. Is he from Texas?
Cowboy thing.
Who cares?
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Dude's loaded. He's funny as hell.
He can do whatever he wants, frankly.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
What else are we missing?
But the other thing that I thought was really cool is Netflix wants to recut some of its original shows and movies so that they'll be better to watch on your smartphone. So they say that the problem is certain shots and movies and TV shows don't translate well because details are hard to see. You can't have massive wide shots. They're not going to look as good. Now, I don't know if the millennials necessarily care so much, but they're just saying it'll sort of up the quality of a lot of these shows and movies that are that you can watch on your mobile device through Netflix. So I think it's promising. I think it's a good idea.
I think,
right?
It, honestly,
detail?
It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, you think about, you know, well, you and I can talk about this, I guess, the reality of, remember going from like the box size TV to now the actual theater style TVs, like the flat screens now,
yeah.
used to be squares. It was
right.
a cube.
Right.
So you'd be watching the tube. And if you wanted to watch something that was in standard versus widescreen, if you put it on the cube, it looked weird. It was funky. It
wasn't happening.
Yeah. yeah. So now with like, as now we're in widescreen, everything's widescreen, they shoot it differently. It's a
right.
different film. I think it's only obvious, right, that the next generation of things from a media standpoint is that you change the way that the production unit is done. And if it's for a phone, you start shooting. Like at some point, I suspect we'll have people actually shooting for
strictly
like
strictly mobile devices.
Yeah,
right?
Like shooting for a
yeah.
mobile device. And you know, it's funny, we talk about this, you know, kind of production conversations about this for our own show, about the need to maybe we're like, sometimes I think we're overthinking it, which is probably the case. That's usually what happens. But I think sometimes we need to spend more time trying to figure out how people would rather digest our programming.
Mm.
And maybe we should be taking things that are short-term shots to turn into a GIF or something rather than 15 minutes of video. Like, who cares?
You're pulling back the curtain here. I like it. Yeah, but that's a great point.
I think so. Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
And how cool is it, you know, just to imagine being on a set somewhere like, okay, action, you do the shot for regular, you know, TV, whatever. Okay, now this is the mobile shot, so let's redo it. You know,
yeah.
It's interesting.
I'm sure the actors are going to love that.
Yeah, right.
Probably not so much.
Not so much.
Well,
no.
they'll figure it out. But either way, it's really interesting. And
yeah.
also what it makes me smile about is the fact that means that Netflix is going to be upping their game with the data stuff so that you can actually stream these things on your mobile device without having to be hooked up to Wi-Fi and all this other stuff without it crushing your data.
True, right. And you don't have to necessarily put it on your TV, right? You can see it just as clear yeah. on your phone. That's a good point.
So no one has to work anymore. You just watch your phone.
Yeah. We'll get nothing done, ever.
Who gets work done anyway?
Not
you know?
Me. Yeah, no, that's true.
Well, this has been a fascinating show. We've had lots of information. Our first real feed update.
Ooh, yeah, it felt good.
Did it feel good? I got to
yeah.
know. This is your first time actually
satiated.
Holding it.
Yeah, it's very good.
Uh-huh. That's the point.
Have you ever had anyone say that to you?
No.
I'm sitting here watching
like
this corner. I'm like,
Shelly, I really appreciate you playing along.
You're
did you
welcome.
Say I feel satiated?
I did.
Yes.
I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Sean is single. we're playing matchmaker in Technori.
Okay. Well, that's for another show.
Listen, this is Sean, and we're doing
yes.
the traditional Freulich. That's the,
yeah. Well, yeah. That's the German pronunciation, which is it's the German word for happy like. Which I tend to bring that energy.
Sean Froelich and the feed is satiating people nationwide every Monday at 4 o'clock when
yes.
it goes live. See what you just created? So right there, step back for a second. If we shot this properly, that's a GIF. That's your face when I say he's single and you're satiated.
Feel satiated.
That's the face that gets.
Yeah.
That's GIF 101.
Right.
Very cool. This has been very, very, very fun. Oh my goodness. Another great show. You can watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast at iTunes and stay connected by following us on Twitter and Facebook at Technori, and follow me at Katoon, and follow Showbiz Shelly at Showbiz Shelly. Boom! That's a wrap.